Our scripture text today is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. It's a beautiful story of a blind man who Jesus heals. We read here, "Then they came to Jericho," meaning Jesus and his disciples. "As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus," which means son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." The word of the Lord. Today, I'm beginning a sermon series called Mountain Moving Prayer. We want to delve into the important topic of prayer and look at its place in our life and how to pray effectively, how to pray passionately, how does prayer work? There's so many things around the topic of prayer that as we learn them, it'll result in a more effective and more exciting prayer life. And that's our goal throughout this series. You know, prayer is so central to the Christian life. The Bible tells us in James that we do not have because we do not ask. The power of God is released in our lives as we ask in faith, believing. The power of God is released in our congregation as we ask in prayer, believing. The power of God is released to work in our loved ones, our family members, those that don't know Jesus, as we ask in faith, believing. And so we learn as we walk this journey, we can't do it on our own. We're too weak. God is all powerful. And as we ask, we receive. And so we can see that prayer is really critical in our personal lives, and the life of our congregation, in our world. Today our topic is effective prayer. And hopefully we'll be talking about effective prayer throughout the series, but specifically today we want to look at some things that we can do to have a more impactful prayer life. One reason we don't pray more often is because we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't have clarity about what we're asking for. Sometimes we believe certainly prayer is good, but we don't necessarily expect our prayers to change things. And so we don't have motivation to pray. And then we do get discouraged when we ask for something and it doesn't seem to come to pass. And so today we want to look at some practical biblical principles that can deepen our life of prayer. I want to address many questions that are on many hearts today, including why does it seem sometimes that our prayers aren't being answered. So we'll be covering a lot of things, but our focus as we begin is on the story of blind Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus, we just read about, was a beggar. In Jesus' day, if you couldn't see, you couldn't work. And there were no government programs for the blind. There was no way that you could earn a living. But if it was clear that you couldn't work, then it was an accepted practice to beg because people knew that you needed money to eat. But it wasn't an easy life. A beggar would have to sit alongside a busy roadway or in a marketplace all day long, hoping that compassionate people would throw just a coin or two their way so they would have enough to live on. And that was Bartimaeus' lifestyle. He would sit each day outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem, the main thoroughfare, waiting and hoping. On this day, Bartimaeus hears an approaching crowd. As a crowd nears, he's been trained just naturally to pick things up by listening. And he hears people talking excitedly about Jesus. And he discerns that Jesus is coming out of the city with the crowd. And as the anticipation grows, he begins to hear people talking about where Jesus is. And he's heard of Jesus. He's longed to meet him. He's heard rumors that this man heals the sick, even the blind. He's heard that some people believe that he is the Messiah from God, come to save his people from their sins and from their enemies. As Jesus nears, Bartimaeus' heart races. He needs the Messiah. He needs God's mercy in his life. And there's something about being broken in areas of our life that make us realize our need for something deeper, something that the world cannot give, that no human being can give. Bartimaeus needs his sight. He needs forgiveness. He needs hope. And so, knowing he needs mercy, and this might be the only time he ever has the opportunity to meet this Jesus, he is intent. He is going to talk to Jesus. And so he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When he says Son of David, he's acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah, the King, because that's what they understood, that the Messiah would come from the lineage of David and would be a king that would reign on David's throne. And so he's calling out in faith to the Messiah. And as he calls out, he's seated in his normal place. The crowd's embarrassed. It's like this outburst from this pitiful man, this ragged man. And so they whisper loudly to him, "Be quiet, have some dignity. This is a great man, this Jesus." But he knows he needs mercy. And if he has to act like a fool to meet Jesus, he'll act like a fool. And so instead of getting quieter, he shouts all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd's irritation is growing, but you know, crowds can be fickle. And suddenly that irritation, the tone of the voice changes as the word sweeps through the crowd. "Cheer up. He's calling for you. Get on your feet." And I can just imagine the excitement that Bartimaeus experienced as he leapt to his feet. He grabbed his cloak that was on the ground and began to move towards where he thought Jesus was. And then he, I'm sure, felt arms guiding him and directing him. And then he felt a presence. Have you ever felt the presence of someone? Imagine the presence of Jesus. He knew, though he couldn't see, that he was standing before someone who was great, someone who was truly good. I can imagine he was speechless. But fortunately, Jesus spoke first. "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you? That's a very specific question. Jesus doesn't simply want a general cry for mercy. He wants to know, "What do you want me to do for you right now?" And Bartimaeus says, "Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus said, go. Your faith has healed you. And then suddenly, the voice turns into a face as the darkness gives way to light and the haze clears, and he's looking into Jesus' eyes. Eyes that are more majestic, greater strength, power, and focus than any king on earth imaginable. And yet eyes that have the gentleness and the compassion of the kindest mom looking into the eyes of her child. And he sees Jesus smile as if to say, you believed. You didn't give up. I'm pleased. And then Jesus turns and goes on his way. And Luke's version of this story tells us that Bartimaeus followed Jesus praising God. Now, we can draw several important lessons from this story. And the first is this. Our requests must be specific. Jesus asked Bartimaeus to be very specific in what he requested. In our story, Jesus wanted to hear not only the general cry for mercy, but a clear expression of Bartimaeus' desire. And until he verbalized that specific request to Jesus, he wasn't healed. Biblical prayer isn't just a vague kind of, Lord, be merciful to me, though it's okay to pray that prayer. But it's specifically bringing our needs to God and expecting specific answers. The Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Daily bread is very practical. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer beginning next week for several weeks. And we'll see that this is it's a prayer for what we need for this day. The practical, specific things that I need today. Not tomorrow or next year, but right now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't worry. Bring those practical things to God that are causing anxiety in your life. And request God to take care of them. One reason why we see so little answer to prayer is because our prayers are so vague. Jesus asked the blind man to be specific. Our requests need to be specific. There could be general prayers, but we need those specific prayers. Then we know that they're answered. Now, why is that so important? Andrew Murray wrote a book called With Christ in the School of Prayer. It's one of the most famous books on prayer. I think it was in the 1800s that he wrote it. And he talks about three reasons why specific prayer, definite prayer, is important for us. Why Jesus desires us to pray that way. The first is this, praying specifically teaches us to know what we really desire and need. As we pray specifically, it helps us clarify what we're asking for. We've prayed, trained many people in how to pray for other people as a ministry team members. We'll do that here in the near future. And one of the things we tell them is that when people come forward for prayer, you simply ask, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? And suddenly the vagueness clears away and the person says, well, what do I want from Jesus right now? Well, I want my marriage to be whole, or I want to be healed from this sickness. Or if, just like with Bartimaeus, it becomes very specific and brings clarity. So for example, you may say, Lord, I need mercy, our family needs a financial breakthrough. And we begin to pray, you pray specifically, Lord, we're in debt, we're spending more than we make. Lord, I ask you, what is my prayer, what am I asking for specifically? I ask you to enable us to make more money, to spend less, to live within our budget, to have wisdom, enable me and us to have the discipline we need to create a budget, teach us wisdom through your word, teach us wisdom through wise people. This is just one example, but there's many things that are needs in our life, and as we begin to become specific, we gain clarity both of what we need and what our responsibility is in that need, in the answer to that need. God has his part, we have our part. Praying specifically also enables me to pray with faith and expectancy. If I don't clearly know what I'm asking for, it's hard to believe for that and expect God to answer it. Andrew Murray writes this: not many prayers will reach the mark if we just pour out our hearts in a multitude of petitions without taking time to see whether every petition is sent with the purpose and expectation of getting an answer. It's better to pray just a few prayers that are specific, where you expect an answer and have a purpose in them, than praying a multitude of prayers. Because faith, expectancy, is necessary for that prayer to be answered. A general prayer like, "Lord, make me more like Jesus," is good, but it should not stand alone. How would I know that prayer is being answered? But to pray, "Lord, remind me today to do little thoughtful acts of kindness towards my wife. May I do an act of kindness to Bob at work today. Or share a kind word. Lord, empower me to be understanding and patient with my son, my daughter." Specific and clear. We know when God answers that prayer. We're praying it even for this very day. Next, praying specifically helps me align my prayer with God's will. Sometimes when we have to pray these generalities, we don't ask the question, is this really the Lord's will for me or for the person I'm praying for? When we get specific, we search our hearts to see if it is truly in line with God's word. You know, "Lord, help me make that big sale at work today." Well, it's specific, but what's God's will? Well, I don't really know, because my competitor might be praying for the same deal today, right? What I do know is that it's God's will for me to trust in him no matter what comes to pass, that he will be my provider. I do know that it's God's will for me to let his light shine through me specifically as I'm talking to that person with whom I'm doing the deal, that I live with integrity and speak with truth. And so I pray for those things I know are God's will, trusting him for his provision. We can pray, "May my child grow up with faith in you." We also can pray, "Lord, remind me to pray for my daughter tonight as I put her to bed. And may I speak encouraging words to bless her on the way today." Be specific. The Lord will make his way clear, his will clear. And if it's what you need, he will move to answer it. Then believe, truly believe, that God is going to answer that specific prayer. God is going to lead you to pray for several very practical matters, very concrete things. He has you in the school of prayer, and he wants you to grow in effective prayer. Now, the second major thing we learn is that we must really want what we ask for. Bartimaeus really wanted to see. He didn't just wish he could see. He wanted, he willed to see. His desire was put into action because of his will, and he did everything in his power to lay hold of what his heart wanted. In prayer, we need to know the difference between wishful thinking and willing something to come to pass. I wish I was different, okay? Do you will it? To bring it before God. to trust Him for that change in your life. We must will for answers, not just wish for them. Andrew Murray writes this: "The Master does not say, 'What do you wish?' to the blind man, but 'What do you will?' One often wishes for things without willing it. The lazy man wishes to be rich, but does not will it. Many people wish to be saved, but perish because they do not will it. The will rules the whole heart and life. If I really will to have something that is within my reach, I do not rest until I have it. When Jesus asks us, 'What do you will?' He asks whether it is our intention to get what we ask for at any price, however great the sacrifice. Do you really will to have it enough to pray continuously until He hears you, no matter how long it takes?" The prayer of faith Jesus wants does not simply wish for something, it wills for it. And when we know God has promised something in His Word, or we know through the prompting and guidance of His Holy Spirit that there's something He truly wants in our life, then we can believe it, we can will for it, we can lay hold of it in faith, expectantly. That kind of prayer will move mountains. Next, we must ask and keep on asking. Jesus says that in His teachings on prayer. And we see this in Bartimaeus' life. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. He was going to keep on calling out. And if we earnestly will for something and believe God at His promises, we're going to keep on asking Him and not grow discouraged. Because we know God will keep His promises and the answer will come in its time. Which brings me to that question I mentioned earlier that many of us grapple with. This is number 4. Why do some prayers seem to go unanswered? Well, that's a profound question. Here's some answers. Here's some thoughts. First of all, sometimes the answer is a life-changing process, and we expect it to happen immediately. Sometimes that which we're praying for, it'll be a process that will take place maybe over years, and the full fruition of it will take years to come to pass. You know, if I'm praying, "Lord, help my son to grow up to be a godly man," I know that that's not going to happen instantly. You don't go from being an infant or a toddler to maturity in a few weeks. But we often pray expecting that kind of thing to happen. "Lord, heal my marriage." God will. But it will take time. And there'll be a part that you'll need to play in that. I recall a husband and wife I knew. They had struggles in their marriage. And one of the things that those struggles rotated around were finances, which that's very common. And they began to pray together for God to heal their marriage and their finances. And as they were praying over time, God led them to a very good marriage counselor, and they began to go faithfully. That was part of the answer. And God showed them a great course on Christian finances, and they agreed to go through that course. It lasted a number of weeks, and they went through that. And they persisted in the things that they were doing. It took some years, but their marriage began to heal. Intimacy began to be restored. And as they looked back 3 or 4 years later of having prayed that prayer, they saw how far God had brought them and how much had changed. And it was worth it. But it wasn't a one-off prayer. Don't expect an instant prayer for something that requires maturing. You can't rush growth. You can't rush the harvest. You sow the seed, you water, you tend it, and you let God bring the increase. Another reason why prayer seems to go answered is that sometimes God is purifying our desires. Maybe what we're praying for, or the way that we're praying for it, or the motivation in how we're praying for it, isn't really aligned with God's will. And He has us in a furnace to burn out the dross. He's at work in our lives. He will get there soon enough to answer really the heart and the meaning and the deepest part of your prayer. But there may be a process because there's other things that he's needing to do in your life right now. Maybe he's using the brokenness in your marriage or that area of temptation in your life to form you and to change you and to help you depend more deeply upon him. He's doing a work. He's purifying our desires. The answer is on its way, and there's answers happening along the way. Another thing is this, and this is big. God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's on a totally different level from us. Some sub-points here that are important. First, God is sovereign. He's in charge. And there are elements of his eternal plan that can't be messed with. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a process as he wants to take us through. And there's grander things that he's leading your family through, your community through, your nation through. He's sovereign. He will call one person to rule in the land. He'll call another person to be a servant. Of course, godly leaders are servants. And the position in life that we have, there's so many things that are beyond our grasp. His perfect will won't be fully realized until the age to come, but he's sovereignly overseeing it all. Another reason why sometimes our prayers aren't seen, so for instance, I may be praying, I prayed this prayer when I was younger, Lord, make me an Olympic swimmer. It didn't work out. But you know, sometimes God receives glory if we live where we've been placed with integrity and love towards others. Next, God's answers sometimes come in unexpected ways, and we see his purpose in retrospect. I can remember actually twice in our life, Tammy and I were praying for a home, and we're moving into a community. We needed a home, and we found a home that we thought, well, it's not exactly what we want, but it's the best we can find on the market. And we begin to pray specifically that the Lord would open the doors for that home. And we put an offer, this happened twice, we put an offer in for the home. We went through all kinds of process. And then the offer was rejected. Things fell through. We felt discouraged, but we just kept on praying. And in both those times, within days, there's a home that was just right for us, and the price on it was reduced like tens of thousands of dollars. And it suddenly came into our price range. It was kind of funny because the home we found was right next to my accountability partner. We were next door neighbors. And I teased. God knew that I needed to be watched after so carefully that God put me right next door so I couldn't get away. But the Lord was doing a work, and it was unexpected. It didn't seem like our prayer was answered, but it was answered more wonderfully than we imagined. Another reason our prayers don't seem to be answered is because God may be doing a work you'll never understand. Have you read the book of Job? God never answered Job's question about why what happened to him happened. God's answer was simply, I'm God. In retrospect, we have all learned so much from Job's life. And Job needed to live that life and go through those trials and difficulties. And he needed to go through trusting God, not understanding, so that we would learn how to go through things trusting God when we didn't understand. there was a reason why God did what he did. He just didn't tell Job, ever, from what we know. Another thing is that God's answer may be on the way. It may take days, weeks, months, years. You know, I remember St. Augustine's mom prayed for her son for like 20 years, earnestly. This rebellious son. And then he came to Jesus. Became one of the greatest theologians the church had ever known. In the book of Daniel, Daniel begins fasting and praying before God. And he prays for 21 days. And then an angel shows up and he learns that the angel was sent to Daniel the same day he began praying. But demonic forces attacked the angel and it took him 21 days to break through. There's a mystery in the heavenly realms that we go beyond our understanding, but there's war out there, and that war has oftentimes has to do with what's happening here on earth. The prayer was answered. The answer was on the way. It just took time. And then sometimes God is doing a greater work in your life or in the lives of others. He may be forming your character or disciplining you in love to bring deeper change. He might be working through hard circumstances to help you grow in your faith more deeply and to do a great good in your life. God is answering. It's just that the magnitude of what he's doing is so far beyond what we can even grasp that we can't perceive it. We keep praying in faith, knowing that someday we will understand that greater work. And then we might well see. I mean, I think of St. Augustine's mom. During those long years of praying, her faith deepened, her perseverance deepened, her intentionality deepened, her desires were purified. The answer came, but God was doing a greater work. And then here's the final, most important thing. But God is always perfect in his love, justice, goodness, and holiness. No matter what. No matter how long the answer takes, no matter how much we understand it or don't understand it, God is always good. There's things in this life I just don't understand. And there's been times I've cried out to the Lord, Lord, why do you allow this in this person's life that's so painful? Why do you allow this in my life? And the Lord didn't answer all the whys, but he taught me to trust the who. Paul, I'm good, I'm loving, I'm merciful, I'm always just. Trust that, even when you don't understand. And keep on trusting. So how should we respond? Well, to put it in a sentence, pray specifically, earnestly, and persistently according to God's will. And never stop trusting in his goodness, even when you don't understand his ways. You know, I can imagine that blind Bartimaeus spent many years by that roadside blind wondering, why me, Lord, why? Little did he know that his story would be told throughout history to deepen people's faith and bring understanding. Pray specifically. Lord, ask yourself, what do I want the Lord to do for me today? Lord, I want this today. I need this today. And pray earnestly. As you identify that specific thing, pray in faith, believing, willing, not just wishing. And be persistent. Don't give up. When you know what God's will is, just keep praying and trusting in his goodness and his timing. If it takes weeks, years, keep praying. You may never fully know that your prayer has been answered or how it's been answered. Oftentimes you will. And never stop trusting in his goodness, even when you don't understand his ways. So I want to encourage you, begin to pray specifically. Maybe I don't doubt many of you have, but take this afresh in your heart. I know some people have used a prayer journal. I'm not good at journaling. The only time I journal is when I'm in crisis. So if you read my journal, you'd think my life is a wreck. And I've tried, you know, I've tried the journaling thing. But Tammy does it very well. So we have to learn ours. That's one thing about prayer. We have to learn our unique rhythm and what works for us. But whether you journal or not, think specifically about the things that you're praying for. And then note God's answers when they come. That's a great thing about prayer journal. I've done it for periods of time, but it just didn't, you know. Yeah, that's another thing. That's another subject. The Lord may well use that in your life. But I would write down the prayer requests and pray for it. And then when something is answered, I'd go back and write down the answer. And it is a faith builder. Whether you do that in your mind or do it with pen and paper, which probably is more effective, it shows you what God is doing. And find a time and a place. We need that time daily with the Lord. And now, according to your personality, your longer time with the Lord may be in the morning or the evening, but you need some time with the Lord in the morning. Whether it be short or long, that's my main time. Where you get before the Lord, you still your heart. We'll be talking more about different ways to pray. Where you still your heart, you get quiet before Him, you receive His love and mercy, give Him thanks, and then we begin to bring those specific things to the Lord that you need, those that you love need. And bring Him in faith, expecting and believing He, as your good Father, will hear and answer. And then give Him thanks. Don't forget to give Him thanks when those answers come. Prayer becomes rich. It becomes, above all else, communion with the God who loves us and becomes a place where we receive the fullness of His Spirit and the riches of His grace and the strength and mercy we need for today and for this week. And so let's come, let's pray specifically, earnestly, and persistently according to God's will, and never stop trusting in His goodness even when you don't understand His ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to pray. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray as You taught Your disciples. And we ask, Lord, that this week we might have time with You, where we bring those specific needs to You and trust You. We open our hearts to what You want to do, to the new and exciting things You'll be doing in our lives as we ask, believing, and receive. And Lord, may we as individuals be strong in the power of Your might as we ask and receive. And may we as a congregation move forward into the fullness of the future that You desire for us as we ask and believe and see Your hand, Your power released from heaven on our behalf and for Your glory. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend. Amen.